This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Call them what you want, skeptics, non-believers, deniers, professional doubters. Some folks are refusing to accept the basic principles of science, things like the Big Bang and evolution and how old the Earth is. Many have doubts about the reality of climate change, despite all the scientific evidence that has been found. People seem to have a fundamental distrust of scientists, even though they depend on science every day. They keep themselves healthy, provide them entertainment, communications, and even give them food. So why is that? And could science doubters be holding back progress? Call in. Let us know what you think. Do you think that scientists are hiding something from you? Do you distrust science? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org, or you can also tweet us at the source, TPR Source on Twitter. And we're joined by Dennis Ugolini. He's a professor of physics at Trinity University. Welcome, Dennis.
Thanks for having me.
And also we have on the line David Victor. He's a professor of international relations at UC San Diego. He's also the co-author of the most recent report on Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. David, welcome to The Source.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we had this poll recently released by AP looking at what Americans think about some big scientific ideas that many of us may take for granted, like global warming, the age of the Earth, evolution. Some people are having their trouble believing these things. There's still some doubting about that. So, Dennis, what are the findings? What do people say they believe?
So the way the poll was constructed, people were asked to rate their level of confidence, extremely, very, somewhat, not at all, for a number of what were listed as a series of statements about science and medicine. And the results ranged anywhere from 94% being at least somewhat confident in the idea that smoking causes cancer, all the way down to about 46% having somewhat confidence in the idea that the universe began about 14 billion years ago with a Big Bang. And a whole range of topics in between, including climate change, the idea of life evolving from natural selection. And those topics tended to be in the 55 to 60% somewhat or more confident range.
They've been taking surveys like this for a while. Is there a trend? Are we able to detect, Dennis, if people are gaining confidence in science or are they losing confidence?
So in looking at the poll results, there are a couple of things that give me a reason for optimism. One is, yeah, I've seen numbers that are less than this. And so in particular, 61% accepting the idea that man-made heat-trapping greenhouse gases are causing climate change is a bit of an improvement to me. The same with 60% believing the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. A second source of confidence is one of the statements they were asked is, whether the universe is so complex that there must be a supreme being guiding its creation. And 72% expressed somewhat confident or more that this was the case, which means there is a significant overlap between people who agreed with that statement and some of the other scientific statements, implying that there is a significant number of people who are okay with the idea that science and religion do not have to be incompatible. And then finally, the thing that I find most optimistic is the statements in which there is the greatest confidence, smoking causes cancer, overusing antibiotics can promote the development of drug-resistant bacteria, all of these are in the 88% and above range, which tells me that getting your message out there, using every available platform, and just constantly saying your message over and over does have an effect and does eventually lead to people accepting an idea.
So, David, Victor, you've taken a look at why smart people disagree about the facts and why there's some perspectives on climate denialism. And you say that we should stop referring to them as deniers. Why is that?
Well, I think that there are three major reasons why people don't believe things, the public doesn't believe things that scientists say are true. One reason is that a lot of what we study in science is outside the realm of what any individual human experiences. So it's reassuring that when people believe in the link between smoking and cancer and other kinds of diseases, because they can see the polluted smoke going into the body and then the impact of that, whereas something like the Big Bang theory or global warming is extremely remote from people's normal experience. I think a second reason is that quite often their belief in scientific facts contravenes other views. So evolution and the belief in God, for example, related to what we were just discussing. Or in the case of climate change, one of the reasons that people don't believe climate science is because at the moment you believe it and believe that humans are responsible, a whole series of other decisions have to follow from that about government intervention, about the rise of government, about regulation, about taxes, and so on. And I think the last point I'd like to make is that people are losing trust in scientists. That's certainly true. But I think when you look across the board, they're losing trust in all institutions. And so in that perspective, scientists are actually still doing better, I guess, than other institutions like Congress.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980. We're talking about skeptics, about science, and why people may be distrusting of some of the results. We invite your phone calls and your emails to thesource@tpr.org. And Deborah has called in. Let's get her on the line. Deborah, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. I feel like religion has a big part to play in this. My daughter's an eighth grade student in a public school system. And her science teacher this year, when having to discuss the Big Bang Theory, told the whole class that she did not believe in the Big Bang Theory, which incited a big debate and argument amongst the students who felt that it was an attack on their religious beliefs, that if they believed in the Big Bang Theory, then somehow that meant that they were not Christian.
Okay, Deborah, thanks for that call. We appreciate that information and your insight. Dennis, you talked about how this is not isn't necessarily mutually exclusive. Even Einstein had a view of God and religion at the same time.
Yeah, the ideas of science and faith are effectively skewed. They serve different purposes and they achieve different goals. I can believe in a creator and at the same time believe that the method of creation is what we have slowly begun to understand as this sudden outward expansion of an originally point-sized universe. And what people have to understand is that science is not so much an effort to explain what has happened in the past. Science is using observations of the past and the present to build up models and tools that will allow us to predict the future. Understanding the Big Bang, the cosmic microwave background, the emissions we see from stars tells us about what the life cycle of our own sun is going to be, how long we can expect it to burn with the fuel that it currently has, how the universe will evolve from this point on.
All right. We're going to be talking more about this. We're going to take a quick break. We invite your phone calls as you want to join the conversation. What do you think about science and the Big Bang, evolution, climate change? The people who deny these things, do they have an agenda? Do you think they have the upper hand? Do you think they're losing ground? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Americans have more skepticism than confidence in things like global warming, the age of the Earth, and evolution. Most have trouble believing that there was a Big Bang that created the universe 13.8 billion years ago. Some people are deniers, they're skeptics, it doesn't fit with their view of the universe. Are they holding back progress? Are they being manipulated by folks who could benefit from this? Call in. We want to hear your thoughts. The number is 614-8980. David Victor over at the UC San Diego, you did a report about deniers and skeptics. And you say that that people like to blame the Koch brothers, you know, these billionaires. But it's really that's too simple of an excuse of a scapegoat.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think you folks have a copy of that that piece up on your website now. There's no question that when parties that don't want you to believe in science because they have a commercial interest in that spend a lot of money on advertisements and so on, that erodes public trust and makes people a little more skeptical. But when I look at the data, what I see is that much of the disbelief in, for example, the science behind climate change is what psychologists sometimes call motivated reasoning. It's people don't believe in the science because they don't believe, because they don't want to deal with the consequences of that belief system. I think that's also related to the issues we were just discussing on religion. There's some areas, belief in God and whether God created humans in their present form, where Gallup has been doing some really interesting polling data to show that 45% of the public believes that God created humans in their present form and that humans haven't evolved or precursor species haven't evolved, that these beliefs are held deeply because they run directly in the face of other beliefs that we hold deeply.
And we have this hyper-polarized society now, red versus blue, and it seems that it makes it more difficult for anyone who wants to join any particular camp to have a varying point of view, that if you're going to be a red state or a blue state or what have you, that you've got to fall directly in line with one or the other. There's very little room for shades of gray in belief these days.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the work that's been done to try and figure out which kinds of people hold these beliefs typically shows that these anti-science beliefs tend to be with older folks rather than younger populations. They tend to be with men rather than women, and they tend to be with Republicans rather than Democrats. And, you know, I don't, this is not an anti-Republican comment. The Democrats have a lot of their own problems with the way they use scientific information when it comes to economic policy. But I think this struggle about the role of science has been particularly acute inside the Republican Party, because so many of these conflicts, like between God and evolution, between climate science and climate policy, so many of those conflicts really play out on topics where the Republican Party has taken increasingly kind of strident views.
I think if you go to the fringe on any party, you're going to find people who have problems with science at one point or another. Let's go to the phones. The number is 614-8980, and Jason has called in. Jason, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, thanks. So I'm a physician. I have a pretty significant science background. And the point that I wanted to make is just simply that, regarding especially the Big Bang, that the term science is used very loosely, where I think it should still be a theory. The scientific method talks about, making an observation about your environment to formulate a hypothesis, which generates experiments, you gather data, you use that data and analyze it to form a conclusion to then make new experiments to gather more data. And ultimately, these experiments and the data has to be reproducible. I think teaching the Big Bang as a theory is important, but I think the people who are really stifling progress are the people who have already said that this is not open for discussion anymore. Lots of important scientific progress has been made by deniers and doubters and questioners. And so I think the discussion still needs to be had. And instead of teaching it as the only option and as science, I think we need to still talk about it in discussionary terms.
All right, Jason, you bring up some great points. Thanks for calling in. And so, Dennis Ugolini, over a professor at Trinity University, what are some of the we can't directly observe the Big Bang theory, and we can't really duplicate that. But there is some evidence still in the universe that is observable that leads scientists to believe that it did happen, right?
That's right. Quantum fluctuations in the early universe should have resulted in what we now know as the cosmic microwave background, which is a 3-degree Kelvin emission of light from all directions that was predicted before it was actually accidentally discovered by people trying to make a very sensitive microwave antenna. Fluctuations in the polarization of the light coming from that background turn out to tell us something about what's called the inflationary theory of how the Big Bang occurred. And that, in turn, was predicted decades before it was just recently discovered by the BICEP 2 collaboration and announced just 2 or 3 weeks ago.
So, but back to what Jason was talking about, there's some very broad general principles that can be agreed upon by many scientists, but there are a lot of details that are still very much in debate about how this happened and what the results were, right?
Right. I mean, the phrasing of the question even specified the date 13.8 billion years, and you could really quibble about that precise number because that still is something that people are trying to measure to greater and greater sensitivity by tracking the speeds at which velocities at which galaxies recede and such. I think the important thing is, as the caller said, we shouldn't so much be presenting things as here's what it is, as here's what we think, and this is the evidence on which we base that. because that's when science is at its most convincing, when you don't treat it as there is a hegemony of scientists somewhere who got together and had a meeting and decided this is how it was going to be. You say we have the following bits of evidence, and this is the best logical conclusion we can draw from that.
And David, you make the point in your paper about how scientists are basically disagreeable people, and they're born skeptics, and they're going to they're not automatically going to agree on everything.
Yeah, and I think it's very important, as Dennis has just said, that scientists be accurate in saying what we know and what we don't know. And I always get concerned when people start talking about scientific consensus on practically anything. That said, there are some areas, the Big Bang Theory is one, most of climate science is another, where the accumulation of predictions and then corresponding evidence in the real world is such that you put all those pieces together and it's extremely difficult, maybe not impossible, but extremely difficult to come to other conclusions. And that, I think when people talk about a scientific consensus, that's what they really mean. Not that it's 100% bomb-proof, because scientists by temperament don't agree, and they by temperament are constantly trying to poke holes in theories, and that is what creates progress in the scientific world. But I think it makes it difficult for the public to sometimes understand what's going on inside the scientific community because it seems like we can't agree on anything.
Yeah, and David, you point out that they don't award Nobel Prizes for agreeing. They award Nobel Prizes for proving the conventional wisdom wrong and coming up with a better idea. Let's get Richard on the line. Our phone line is 614-8980. And Richard, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I believe that from the religious standpoint and the age of the earth and evolution, what have you, science and religion have been at each other's throats historically. And a lot of this comes from the protection of money. There's a lot of money to be made in religion today, and I think some of the religious leaders are advocating against the scientific view to protect income. As far as the climate change goes, I think one of the problems is that we have no scientists in Congress. I don't believe either House, their science committees, has a scientist on it. So there's just no knowledge up there. And look what the Texas legislature and school board is doing in regards to our science classes, trying to introduce non-science, such as creationism, into the curriculum, which I think is terribly, terribly wrong. Thank you for letting me have my say.
All right. Thanks for your call. We appreciate that. So the point about non-scientists being in Congress, there are doctors in Congress. They're scientifically trained. Dennis, any reaction?
I believe Lamar Hunt was actually a physics major when he first started in college. I only just found that out recently.
How people say that that there's vested interest, they have money to protect, but the other side makes the same accusation that the scientists are also making money off of their point of view. And David, you say that is one of the reasons why there's distrust among scientists.
Yeah, I think money may play a role here. I think especially on religious matters, it's more deeply held views that are very difficult for people to move away from. I'm not so worried about the low presence of scientists in Congress. There's one in Congress, Rush Holt, although he's going to retire at the end of his term later this year. He's a physicist by training. But I think what's more important is respect for, at least awareness of the scientific method, of what we know and what we don't know in the scientific community. And once you become aware of that and appreciative of that, then you can judge scientific information or know who to ask to help judge scientific information. And that'll help to, I think, tame some of the perverse influences on that affect science, including the role of money in politics.
Okay, time for one last caller. Akins is called in. Let's get Akins on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Hi. Yes, I had a question on what are the effects of not believing in science? Right now, most of the developed countries, industry is based on science, society is based on science, or social media is governed by science and this technology, and it's allowed us to grow and expand out. But to not believe in it, what are the effects and consequences of that?
All right, Dave, thanks for that call, Akins. Appreciate that. So with particularly in climate change, which is what you're writing about, David Victor, if we allow the doubters to say there is no climate change, is that a problem?
Oh, I think it's a huge problem because it completely undercuts the argument for action And so in the absence of action, which is more or less what we've seen for the last 20-plus years, we've been talking about climate change but basically doing nothing. In the absence of action, the problem gets worse and worse, and it makes it harder for the U.S. to cooperate with other countries to control their emissions. I think this is a huge problem, and it's not only a problem for climate science, but it's a problem for every area of policy that is in one way or another affecting technology, affecting scientific topics, including policies around economic growth.
Watching the program Cosmos, produced by Fox and National Geographic, and they were talking about Claire Patterson and his discoveries about lead and the levels of lead in an environment, and him having to fight the lobbies eventually to get the federal government to step in and reduce level lead in gasoline. That seems like a very similar story to what we're dealing with now with climate change, David.
Absolutely, and lead is one of the great success stories. We identified the problem. It took a little while to get people to agree, but we identified the problem. The scientific evidence was as robust as it ever gets, and then we adopted a whole series of policies to follow from that, including one of the first uses of market-based so-called cap-and-trade programs to phase out lead and gasoline. It's a tremendous success story and one of hundreds, maybe thousands, of areas where environmental policy and economic policy, that's good policy, has flown directly from belief in science.
And another area of science, sociology, tells us that the more we try to tell people that they're wrong, the harder they will hang on to their beliefs. So real quickly, Dennis, how do we convince people to accept science?
The best you can do is just keep putting your message out there. And I think the best recent example is Bill Nye's creationism versus evolution debate. It was on creation turf. It was with a creationist audience. And yet the penetration into all walks of life and people asking me about it, having watched it and really gained from it, I think is a powerful message to take.
And so, David, you say science is still soft. There's always room for disagreement, and we got to keep the lines of communication open?
Absolutely. And the example of Bill Nye and evolution is a terrific one. It's Exhibit A. Keep at it.
All right. Dennis Ugolini, professor of physics at Trinity University, thank you for joining us. David Victor at UC San Diego, thank you so much. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back after the NPR news break.